of our gathering is generally labeled a sermon or a lesson, but I'm going to call it a tag team talk this morning because we work in a different way. You see, there is one seated on the front. He's ready. The moment I pause to step up here, so be careful. It's going to happen. Dave is going to talk also this with the recommendation that David brought from his past experience and the elders have promoted and supported. We're talking this morning about reading. And I want you to think with me for a moment about reading being part of a class of words that are tricky. Maybe a surprising membership in that group, but there are a number of words that we live with all the time. Big words: love, faith, hope, grace. Big words that are especially slippery. If we're not careful, the meanings of those words slip away from us. And we're left with the word, but the meaning has changed or simply disappeared in any recognizable way, but we still use the word. I think reading can be that way too, because if we're not careful, it's pretty easy to imagine that reading is simply what we do when we prop words up in front of our eyes and then somehow those words invade, or somehow our eyes capture them and process them and we're done, we've read. Well, I don't think that works. I think reading is the sequential capture of words, but I don't think it's only that. I don't think we need to work this morning to see fully what reading can be for us. And we'll see that, I think, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 in just a moment. But let me give you a couple of other places to help us think for a moment. I'm not asking you to turn there. Just hold yourself there. These are very short mentions you've heard of. One, Jesus himself says in the context of the Good Samaritan story, someone asks him, how do we get eternal life? And Jesus says, what does the scripture say? How do you read it? You understand by saying that, there's a question about it. There are ways of reading, either ways that give us different outcomes or different methods, but at least there is a possibility of some variation. How do you read it? What conclusion do you draw from your reading of Scripture? And he gets an answer, and he's impressed with the answer. How do we read? That's our question this morning. I remind you of another place in Psalm 119, and this is in verse 11. I have stored up your words in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now, that reading is not required there. We could hear the words of God and store them in our hearts. But certainly reading is one way. But notice this, the role of metaphor here in this act of reading. How do we store something in our hearts? How do we put anything in our hearts? Heart is the metaphor. Metaphor square at work right here. We're storing in our hearts. Well, reading is part of what does that for us. We have to read the word of God into our hearts. That's not all. We have to pray the word of God into our hearts. We have to delight the word of God into our hearts. I hope you'll play that game this afternoon. You've got a blank there. I have to blank the word of God into my heart. But reading is one of the ways we work it into our heart. Let's think metaphorically again. Someone making bread has to knead the dough. In a sense, you could say metaphorically that we're kneading the word of God. We're working it. We're working that word into our lives because that's what has to happen. We believe, at least many people gathered here this morning, believe what Jesus said in John 17:17. Right? Thy word is truth. Truth exists. Objectively, truth exists outside of us. Whether we agree with it, whether we see it, whether we understand it, it's there. It is true. Then how do we get that truth into us? We read it into our lives. We pray it into our lives. We talk it into our lives. Let's do all of those. But let's especially think about how we do that by reading this morning, because I think in our time, reading is something that's pretty easy to run away from, turn away from, choose alternatives, anything but read. Right? As a teacher, I've encountered at least 7 students who are resistant to reading, who are reluctant to read. I understand that. I've been around it for years. But I'm not suggesting some kind of heroic marathon reading. I'm simply trying to suggest to you that there is a power available that we can get in small doses. You could read a single verse well and read it into your life if we do the things we're talking about today. And by the way, I hope you'll come back tonight. We're going to talk some more about reading there. I'm in 2 Timothy chapter 2 now. Thank you for joining me there. And I'm going to look at a single verse with you. Let's look at verse 15. I'm reading in the English Standard Version this morning. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to read this verse in front of you this morning. I'm going to work with a single verse. And I use that word advisedly. I'm going to work this verse. In fact, I want to suggest to you that we learn that we store the word of God, as Psalm 119 suggests, or when we, like those noble people in Berea, search the scriptures. These are verbs of work and action. We can do this. It's not a gift that some people can read. Oh, you're just one of those. You're lucky. You can read. Wrong. This is not about strange gifts. This is about people of God saying, how do I get God's truth into my life? I'm going to pray it into my life. I'm going to talk it into my life, but I'm also going to read it into my life. And one of the ways I do that is I do my best at it. I work at it. Now, if I were to read that in the New American Standard, I believe it says, be diligent, work at it. If I want to be anything, if I'm diligent about it, I can be at least some plain approximation of that by simply being diligent, by doing my best. Or if I want to go back to the King James, I believe it says, there, study to show thyself approved, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, and rightly dividing the word of truth. It may be that there's a decay from the King James. Study, be diligent, do your best. Everybody gets a medal. The next translation, I don't know. There seems to be a change in that, but maybe not. Maybe it's simply, we remember all three of those ways of seeing this, that I'm going to do my best to show myself as God's person, because I'm going to be a possessor of God's word because I've worked him into my life. I'm going to do my best to do that. I'm going to be diligent to do that. I'm going to work at it. And I'm going to study. All of those are intended to show me approved. I'm not just killing time. I don't simply have a nodding awareness of the things of God. I have decided to accept his discipline. I have decided to be his disciple. The 4 parts of this verse, as I work through them, I guess I'll have to number them, even without slides. The first one is, can I do this? Can I do my best to read God into my life, work it in? I promise you, there are people in this room who are working things into their lives, words they hear. We're all doing this. We're all trying to find words we live by. We simply find them from different sources, and we should. I've worked some of the words my father spoke to me. I've worked them into my life. People work words from movies and songs into them. I won't name genres or not trying to, but my students in school setting have worked words into their lives, not by reading, but in other ways. So we can do this. We can do our best to work God's words into our lives. When we do that, what we're doing is we're presenting ourselves, the text says. And that's language that's used also in Romans. We can't help it. We are going to present ourselves one way or another. Am I going to present myself as a diligent person who is a bearer of the Word of God? Not simply a bearer of His image. That was given to me to be an image bearer, but now I get to do the work of bearing His image because I now am a bearer, I'm a carrier of His words, and I've worked them into my life. I'm going to present myself as somebody who's been approved by God, not because I can outquote anybody. That's not what we're talking about. I've worked them into my life so well. An illustration just came to mind. I think I'm going to go there. My wife, before I knew her even, she told me this story about having made some kind of casserole or some kind of dish for people coming over, and she forgot to stir in something. And so at the last minute, she stirred it in. I don't think it worked very well after. How are we working with the Word of God? Is it just a little sprinkle on top, or is it something more than that? One way or another, though, we will present ourselves. We will be people that say, what are the words this person lives by? I'd like it to be known for me that here's someone who lives the Word of God, listen to me now, elegantly. I don't mean fancily. I mean elegantly. I mean that there's not any pretentiousness or shininess or false bleeing about it. It is simply a studied and practiced simplicity. It's there. It's been worked into my life. That's how I present myself. We can do that. We can do that, and we must. Again, not only by reading, but reading is part of our tool. Notice the writer here, Paul, gets us into another metaphor when he says, a workman who need not be ashamed. And this may be the most, telling. I want you to understand the power of this metaphor. In this room right now, there are people of different kinds of work. I see a welder right here in front of me. I promise you, people who know how to weld, people who know how to do all kinds of things, right? Cooking, electricianing, I don't even know the words for all the things. In my youth, one of the deeds I was terribly proud of was my ability to haul hay. Okay, it's not much. But I promise you, you could tell people who knew what to do with those who didn't. And I don't care what the task is. You can tell those who know what they're doing, those who are truly workers of that work. They know how to do two things. They know how to handle their material, and they know how to handle their tools. Right? So, a woodworker. Our dear brother Bill Howell was a woodworker. People who know how, they could look at wood and they could see what that wood is capable of being and doing. Not all wood works. You have to know what the wood can do. You know that. Well, I don't know that about wood, but I think it's true about anything. You have to know what are the possibilities here. Because I'm a worker, I know. Similarly, I have to know what my tools can do. Some of you may have put together, assembled some Christmas gift using some not quite bright tool, and you realize that it just doesn't work that way. You understand, that's just common sense. When the word worker is put in there, I, as a reader of that word, have to let it play richly in my mind. How many ways can I bring worker in? How many ways can I see that here's someone who's skilled? And you know this. You know this. I'm going to talk about the worker who's a cooker. the difference between the just right and not just right. You know, everybody has a favorite dish and a favorite preparer of that dish, right? And this is the kind of thing you encounter during the holidays. Yes, I like this, but it's not as good as Aunt Wanda's. When Aunt Wanda makes it, it's right. You know that, right? Because she had the touch to, she was the worker of that. And ladies and gentlemen, the workers of the word are no different. We have to know how to work the tools we have. And understand this, the tools, I'm going to suggest the tools are twofold. One of the tools are the words of God. And as Mark Twain said, the difference between the just right word and the wrong word is the difference between lightning and a lightning bug. Think about it. Here, I have the chance to fulfill the metaphor of the worker with the way I attend to the word of God. The second part of this working, see, is my life. I have the word of God here, and I have my life here. The workman here is one who's able to bring those together and knead them and process them, work them together so that there is this harmonious whole of my life. The word has just been worked into all the corners of it. I think about food, but just recently I made this 7-layer dip. It was a work of art. You should have seen it. I did. It was actually only 6. I left out the olives because it's just the right thing to do, right? Okay. But we know this. We know it doesn't matter any part of our lives. We can see how there is a skill, and we can bring that skill to bear. Now, we know people are going to be better than others at it, but we're not talking about that. We're just talking about anybody can do it well enough. Anybody has this power if they have this desire. So I take you back for just a moment to Psalm 119, this time verse 18. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things from your word. You see there, I have to have eyes that see. I can't read if I don't have eyes to see it. And so again, eyes are not just eyes. Right, as one poet calls and refers to the optic heart. We see with our hearts. See, and that's a learning how to read too. So you say, this is a complex task. And if all we do is take the word read, have to read, ugh. I hope you see you've missed what I've done. Now, don't draw from this. The only way to read is to spend 20 minutes talking about one verse. Okay, I'm working it too much, I'm sure, but you understand. We can work this into our lives. One more part of this verse that we need to see. Rightly handling the word of truth. See, that may be what pushes the worker metaphor to its fullness. Handle rightly. Back in the day people still smoke. I've never smoked a cigarette. I'm not trying to advertise for it. Don't get me wrong. But you can tell the difference between, in the movies at least, somebody who's the first-time smoker, just the way you handle the cigarette. Again, I'm just talking about something in my hands. Other things are true, too. How does somebody handle their tools? I promise you, people are watching when you handle tools. Whatever they might be, do you know what to do? When I went out to West Texas once and tried to take my Central Texas cow skills with me, it didn't work very well. I didn't know how to handle cows, literally grab those beasts and heave them to the ground. I wasn't very good at it. The only thing said, the old men on the fence who were watching this college punk show up and try to pretend he knew what to do with cows, the only thing they could say good about me was, at least he didn't let go. Come on. But is it, can I rightly handle the word of truth? Right? It is true, but I have to be able to handle it rightly. The King James said, rightly divide the word of truth. But you see, each of those suggest that, again, we're talking about a skill. It's a metaphor again. How do you handle? And when do I give too much weight to something? Perhaps I've done that here with this verse. Or do I give not enough weight to some part I'm considering? Do I see it whole? And do I see the part? See, this is something that I can do if I know I need to do it. If I know that I've got to accept responsibility. So that's what I believe a disciple is. One who accepts the discipline. And here we are disciples of the Lord who was the Word. And he has made us disciples, or given us that opportunity, and it's up to us to be readers of his word in such a careful way that we show ourselves approved in the way we do that. Now, let me say one last thing, and then I'll turn it over to him. And that is, my comments so far this morning have been about us as individual readers, and that's certainly a big part of it. But let me also suggest to you that God has called us to be together. We have a responsibility to one another. We are the assembled, called out people of God. And so not only do we need to believe together, we need to read together. And in doing that, maybe we can even help ourselves more as we try to read God's words into our hearts. Thank you, brothers and sisters.
Randy and I wanted you to begin today with a sense of how important it is for us to read the Word of God. I hope that's deeply planted in your heart now. I don't know that there are many disciplines in life more important than the regular, meaningful reading of the Bible. Will you think about that and let that simmer for a minute? The only way one is able to live a God-honoring life is to first know what kind of life honors God, right? And I only know that through the time that I spend in His Word. Jesus would say, if you continue in my Word, then you are truly my disciples, in John 8. In verse 31. It's so, if it is so very important, it's no surprise then when you pause and begin to think about it that we do all these kinds of things together to help us read His Word and know His Word. That's what this sermon is about, right? We're working together to know His Word. I know that only one of us is speaking right now. What did Randy invite you to do at the very beginning? Get your Bible out and open your Bible. So in a sense, even if one guy's still talking, we're all working together to understand God's Word. And then we get into classroom and you guys get to cut loose too, right? And we open our Bibles and together we have this sort of group conversation, thinking through a text, thinking through a passage to try to understand it better. We do all these kinds of things together to try to understand what God is saying to us in this most important book. It is just a vital piece of our congregational dialogue. Happens so much and so often we hardly even give a thought to it, but it's just going on all the time. Well, you've been set up this morning. Maybe you're getting a sense of that. We said all that to say this. In 2021, we want to add a little piece to this work we do together to spend time in God's book. We've put together a plan to read together in 2021. Our plan is to read together through the books of Luke and Acts. I love this reading. This little two-volume set from Luke will take us through sort of a summary of the entire New Testament story. Think about this. These two books cover the basic story in its entirety. And so that's our plan, to read them together. The reading we're going to do is going to be an immersion read. And what I mean by that is we're only going to be reading one chapter each week. Think about that. Let it process for a minute. One chapter each week, 52 weeks. Luke and Acts is perfect for that, because if you add up all the chapters in Luke and all the chapters in Acts, guess what you get? Yeah, 52 weeks. So it makes for a perfect year. And you're thinking, well, but we're not reading very much, just two out of the 66 books. And so we're not covering a huge cut of biblical territory. However, I would suggest to you that there is great value in reading this way, an immersion read where you slow down and just read a little bit. One of the things I love about it is it gives us the opportunity to pause and really immerse ourselves in the context of the text. Listen, the idea will be not that you'll take a Thursday afternoon and take 10 minutes and read Luke 7, but instead that maybe you would read it every day. Read the text over and over again, maybe a dozen times over the course of the week, and to have this opportunity to sort of pause and really drink in the text and think about your questions and work through your questions or your curiosities and pursue those further. That's one of the downsides of other reading plans. Have you ever read through the Bible in a whole year, right? There isn't a lot of time to dawdle, right? You get in some passage in Leviticus and you think, oh, I'd like to know more about that. But listen, you got about 8 more chapters in Leviticus to read tomorrow too, and 8 more after that. There isn't a lot of time to pause and consider. And so one of the things I like about this approach to Bible reading is if I could borrow your illustration, Randy, it gives you an opportunity to sort of work it in, sort of kneading the dough. I've watched my wife do that too. The other thing I love about this approach to reading is it's a very forgiving reading. I was doing this program of reading through the whole Bible chronologically one year, and I fell behind. Has that ever happened to you? I fell behind. In fact, I felt 10 days behind, and it took like 8 hours to catch up on all the reading that I missed. The thing I worry about that is if people get discouraged, have a bad week, maybe in the hospital a couple of weeks, and all of a sudden they're thinking, oh man, I will never catch up, and they just give up. What I love about the immersion read is very, very forgiving. You fall behind a week or two chapters, and you can catch back up with everybody else as we continue to read through together. So that's what we'll be doing in 2020. Along the way, Jeff and Randy and I are going to try to do some things to complement the reading. You can anticipate hearing some sermons from Luke and Acts over the course of 2021. We're hoping that will help you to understand the text better and maybe pick up on some of the applications that are there. Another thing Jeff and I plan to do, at least in January and February, so we're going to take that last Sunday night when we do our question night. We're going to reserve that for questions about Luke. And so if you dig into the reading in the month of January, you've got a question about chapter 3, you will email that to us or text us. We'll try to work as many of those things as we can in on that last Sunday night of the month. And I'd love to plan beyond that, but frankly, I have no idea what's coming the rest of 2021. I can tell you for sure we can do that the first couple of months and then see what happens after that. You can also look on the Facebook page, because Jeff and I will post every Monday. Boy, that's too high a commitment. Early every week, some kind of quick video that will summarize the reading and give you maybe some help with some questions that will come up along the way. By the way, this is an aside. This isn't even my notes. This is a freebie. But you talked about something that just came to you, Randy. This just came to me. This is an evangelistic tool. Have you thought about that? Because you got friends at work that are interested in the Bible. A lot of your friends who are religious have not been able to go to worship for months and months and months. Many denominations are not meeting at all. And so this is a great time to say, here's something you could do. Here's a way to be in the Word. Take them one of the reading guides, refer them to the Facebook podcast, and they could follow along with that as well. Randy has also agreed that he every Sunday is going to put in the bulletin where you'll find the reading, he's going to put in some things to watch for, some things to look for as you read. And we'll actually talk a lot more about that, as he said, tonight at 5. Hope you'll come back for that as we think about how to get more out of our Bible reading. So, Jill has printed a schedule for us. And what we hope you'll do is pick it up, and beginning next Sunday, join us in reading through Luke and Acts. A couple of practical suggestions. One of the things that I think is very helpful when you're doing an immersion read is to read in different translations. So instead of reading from your good old New King James or whatever translation you use over and over again, grab a different translation. And what's wonderful to live in the days when technology allows you to just put an app on your phone, maybe you get 4 or 5 different translations. Sometimes just reading a different way a verse is rendered or some different words that are used can help give you greater insight into what the text is trying to say. And the other thing that I wanted to mention to you is we really want to encourage our families to do this together. And so inside the reading schedule, we've included some very basic questions that you could talk to your kids about. If they're old enough to read on their own, have them go through the reading and maybe sit down as a family one night during the week and talk about it. If we are right this morning and Bible reading is just one of life's most important disciplines, then translate that down to the young people growing up at your house. One of the most important things then that I could teach my kid is how to be a good reader of God's Word. And we hope this will be a little way of encouraging our families to read with their children and to sit around and talk about the reading. As I say that, I think about Deuteronomy 6, right? And how Moses urged the children of Israel to make the Word of God the atmosphere that filled their home. Talk about it all the time. That he said, talk about the law when you're sitting in your house and when you're walking by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. So this is a way to make that real in our homes every day. We hope this will contribute to family Bible study. The last thing I want to do is be really clear about what our goal is. If some of you, I notice, have already got the schedule, you've been looking at it, and you know we've got the reading laid out for each week in boxes next to it. And one of the really things I really worry about when we do Bible reading together, the church family, is that we worry too much about checking the boxes. And I want to tell you that I'm really not too concerned if you get all your boxes checked in 2020. Because the important thing is not to say, well, I got through the reading in the assigned time period, right? The important things, brothers and sisters, is that we read the Word and we soak up its content. We understand what the Creator wanted us to know so that as His people, we can live our lives to His glory. And if having a schedule that we all share, a reading we all do together, will help us do that. If we'll grow in our knowledge and understanding of His will, then it will be an investment well worth our time and energy. So, in 2021, I hope we'll all be in the Word together. I invite you to join us in reading the New Testament story again in Luke and Acts, because there are a few things in life more important than reading His Word and coming to know His will for us. And as we do that, to be sure that we act on and practice the things He says to us in His Word. So maybe there's somebody in the crowd today that needs to do that very thing. As we bring this year to a close, we think about beginning a new year. Maybe you realize that that's exactly what you need to do. You know what is right. You know that Jesus is the Lord. You know that you ought to be living for Him. But the problem is you've not done it. You've not acted on it. And so today maybe needs to be your day when you decide, I'm going to come back to Him and serve Him faithfully. Or I'm going to come to Him for the first time and make my decision to be a disciple. Whatever your need is, this church family wants to help you. We want you to join us in walking with Jesus, finishing this road that leads with Him in the end. that's your need today, you make your way down to the front right now. We'll help you while we stand, while we sing.